Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
This is what Americans have been subjected to for decades. Mainstream traditional values are mocked and ridiculed and disparaged by our main media voices.
We're buying every tenth of a degree Fahrenheit reduction in temperature at a price of $23.3 to $46.6 trillion. When we're asked that, doggone, the reasons had better be convincing.
The French Revolution had proper language at times. It had the right impetus, but it went in completely the wrong direction, and it ended up as a diabolical movement rather than a just movement.
When we think about our own sinfulness, we tend to be evening prayer pessimists rather than morning prayer optimists.
Kindergarten teachers from Baltimore love listening to Issues, etc.
There is no doubt that it is one of the main battle lines in the protection of the unborn. And it's not about the money, although it sometimes sounds like it's about the money. Taxpayer-funded abortion is not about the money. It's about what the money goes to fund, whether it be federal funding or state funding of abortion. It is about the protection of the unborn. Sad to read that in the state of Oregon, House Bill 3391, working its way through the legislature, would force taxpayers to fund abortion. How would it do this, and what can citizens of Oregon and the rest of us do about it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of July. A little bit later, after our conversation with Gail Atterbury of Oregon Right to Life on the Oregon bill forcing taxpayers to fund abortion, we'll review the movie Spider-Man Homecoming with Pastor Ted Giese. We'll talk about worship wars, patriotism, and a Christian megachurch in Dallas. Terry Mattingly, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, will be our guest. Then our regular series, Christ in the Old Testament, will be in Psalm 65, the God of our salvation. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. You can join us as well over the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about an Oregon bill forcing taxpayers to fund abortion, Gail Atterbury, Executive Director of Oregon Right to Life. Gail, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Good to be there with you.
How would you describe the current state of pro-life legislation efforts there in Oregon?
Well, it's been dismal. Our state is extremely liberal, not as fortunate as many other states. We've been controlled pretty much by Democrats for a long, long time. We did have a little bit of control in the House and the Senate with Republicans, who are, by the way, we are nonpartisan, but it is a fact that the Republicans are the pro-life legislators here in the state of Oregon. And we did have a little control for a while, but then we had a Democrat governor who vetoed our bills. So right now, the House, the Senate, and the governors are all controlled very much by the pro-abortion Democrats. We have a robust pro-life community in the state of Oregon. And in spite of the fact that the Democrats control the laws, which we have zero laws in the state of Oregon that protect unborn children, we do have a falling abortion rate because of the mentality that we are able to be changing on the ground by the pro-life movement.
So tell us about House Bill 3391.
3391 sat in committee for a long time. It popped out at the very last end of session, passed out of committee, out of House, and out of the Senate within a week. Got ramrodded through. It does provide for tax-funded abortions. I do want to make it very clear that Oregon has forever been paying for abortions for those on the Oregon Health Plan. This bill expands the amount of women who are qualified to have tax-funded abortions. Other than that, we have had tax-funded abortions, and we pay for practically or almost 50% of the abortions already in the state of Oregon. So, but this just adds more women to the pool who can collect for their abortions. Also, it mandates that all insurance companies cover abortion. And also, I will say that most insurance companies have already voluntarily paid for abortions. Of course, there are a copay. This bill says there can be no copay, that these abortions have to be completely free. So while it is a bad, horrible bill, we do not like it. We fought against it. It pushes the parameters out that we have already had in place, actually.
Does any other, to your knowledge, is there any other medical procedure for which the Oregon State Legislature would require insurers to pay for completely without any copay?
No, absolutely not. Except they've included contraceptives in this, which some, of course, are not really contraceptives. They are abortifacients. So you get all of, but as far as a normal surgery that might be actually life-threatening, which abortion is not, except in the rarest of cases, no, there's nothing that is mandated to be paid for by the insurance companies, no.
From your perspective, Gail, why is it so important for abortion activists to procure tax dollars to fund abortion?
Well, they're losing. Even in the state of Oregon, the most liberal pro-abortion state run by pro-abortion politicians, they are losing. There are less and less abortions every year because women are choosing to save their babies instead of kill them. So they are trying their very best to make it more appealing to have an abortion, more lucrative for Planned Parenthood, because even Planned Parenthood is losing business here. So that is my particular take on why this is happening.
Is there anything, I mean, you did paint a very bleak picture to begin with. Is there anything that Oregon voters can do about this, given the fact now that the pool of women now eligible to get a free abortion at taxpayer expense has been expanded yet again in abortion?
Well, I'll tell you what voters need to do, and that is during election time when they elect legislators, they need to elect pro-life ones. And we are very, very active as a political action committee. We let people know who the pro-lifers are. We do everything to get them out. So what they need to do is care enough about abortion that they will vote for the pro-life politician instead of the pro-abortion one. And that's where the real battle is, because when they get to the state house, they come pre-programmed to either be pro-life or to be pro-abortion. So we work with what we have there, but if we only have pro-abortion ones, you know, they're just programmed by Planned Parenthood to do what Planned Parenthood wants them to do.
Is there any data available on whether or not the actual voters in Oregon favor taxpayer-funded abortion?
Actually, they don't. We have one poll that's a little bit old, but by a majority, they disfavor tax-funded abortion. By other polls, they disfavor late-term abortions, and you can have an abortion up to the day of birth here in the state of Oregon. So we do know that among the voters out there, generally speaking, they can be talked into voting for pro-lifers if they will pay attention.
I wonder, because there has been a drop in the abortion rate nationally, and you say even in this pro-abortion state of Oregon, the not only have bills like this been more kind of forcefully pushed, but there has been a PR battle for the hearts and minds of American women and for American voters across. Do you sense a desperation on the part of abortion providers and abortion activists?
I do. I absolutely do. Even in the state of Oregon, we are extremely active in the public arena. We are probably in 40, 45 different events throughout the year. I mean, that's one a week with our beautiful pro-life displays. And every single time we go up, people stop and, oh, I didn't know this, oh, I didn't know this, and they pick up our babies, and that's pretty exciting. So we are optimistic that we are touching the hearts of the people. We need to translate the hearts into the voting booth in order to get some laws. But if they are not choosing abortion, which they obviously are not, because not only the numbers have come down, the rates and the ratios have come down. So we're touching hearts, but we need to get this into legislative action also, and that's our goal.
Is the state of Oregon, in a sense, a warning to other states and to pro-lifers in other states of how bad it really can
get? Yes. Yes, it's exactly a warning. And this, too, could happen in other states. You just give these pro-abortion Democrats an inch, and they'll take a mile. And that's what you're seeing happening here in Oregon.
Gail, how would you respond to someone who's thinking, golly, why bother? It's futile. Oregon is a thoroughly pro-choice state. What would you say?
No, stop. I mean, don't say that, because I was just in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin used to be a totally pro-abortion state. And they changed it. They are now, they have a pro-life governor, a pro-life House, pro-life Senate. They're passing pro-life bills. And they did it by hard work. And I talked extensively to them on how they did it. And we want to do the same thing. So nothing is foregone conclusion. You just work harder and you pray, you trust God, and see what happens.
Gail Atterbury is Executive Director of Oregon Right to Life, and you will find a link to Oregon Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Gail, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. It's wonderful to talk to you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Ted Giese. He has recently written a review of the movie Spider-Man Homecoming. We'll talk about where this one fits. It's an origin story and the Christian themes that one might detect there. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Religious liberty is an issue I think that we as Christians need to get out in front of.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whether it's willful or simple ignorance, the media have badly misrepresented this issue. It is also vital that all Americans understand just how foundational religious liberty and freedom of conscience are to the preservation of all American freedoms. And this is something that even those Americans who aren't religious should understand and agree with. I also happen to believe that we as Lutherans, with our understanding of two kingdoms theology, are in an excellent position to be the explainers and ambassadors of this issue.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for religious liberty at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.